44.
65. YT suddenly wakes up. She hadn't realized that she was asleep. Something about the thwop of the rotor blades must have lulled her. She must be tired as shit is what it really is.
What the fuck is going on with my comnet?
Ilbob Rife is squalling.
No one answers, the Russian pilot says. Not Raft, not L.A., not Houston.
Get me LAX on the phone, then, Rife says. I want to take the jet to Houston. We'll get our butts over to the campus and find out what's going on.
The pilot messes around in his control panel.
Problem, he says.
What?
The pilot just shakes his head forlornly.
Someone is messing with the Skyphone. We're being jammed.
I might be able to get a line, the president says.
Rife just gives him a look like, right, asshole.
Anybody got a fucking quarter?
Rife hollers. Frank and Tony are startled for a minute.
We're going to have to touch down at the first payphone we see and make a goddamn phone call,
he laughs.
Can you believe that? Me? Using a telephone?
A second later, YT looks out the window and is blown away to see actual land down there, and a two-lane highway winding its way down a warm sandy coastline. It's California. The chopper slows, cuts in closer to land, begins following the highway. Most of it is free of plastic and neon lights, but before long they home in on a short bit of franchise ghetto, built on both sides of the road in a place where it has cut away from the beach some distance. The chopper sits down in the parking lot of a buy and fly. Fortunately, the lot's mostly empty. They don't cut any heads off. A couple of youths are playing video games inside, and they barely look up at the astonishing sight of the chopper. She's glad. YT is totally embarrassed to be seen with this dull assortment of old farts. The chopper just sits there idling, while Ilbob Rife jumps out and runs over to the payphone bolted to the front wall. These guys were stupid enough to put her in the seat right next to the fire extinguisher. No reason not to take advantage of that fact. She jerks it out of its bracket, pulling out the safety pin in virtually the same motion, and squeezes the trigger, aiming it right into Tony's face. Nothing happens.
Fuck!
She shouts, and throws it at him, or rather, pushes it toward him. He's just leaning forward, grabbing at her wrist, and the impact of the extinguisher hitting his face is enough to put a major dent in his tude. Gives her enough time to swing her legs out of the chopper. Everything is getting fucked up. One of her pockets is zipped open, and as she's half falling, half rolling out of the chopper, the fire extinguisher bracket catches in that pocket and holds her. By the time she's gotten free of that, Tony's back, now on his hands and knees, reaching out for her arm. That she manages to avoid. She's running out freely into the parking lot. At the back, she's hemmed in by the buy-and-fly, along the sides by the tall border fence that separates this place from a Neo-Aquarian temple on one side and a Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong Franchulet on the other. The only way to escape is out onto the road, on the other side of the chopper. But the pilot and Frank and Tony have already jumped out and are blocking her exit out onto the road. Neo-Aquarian Temple isn't going to help her. If she begs and pleads, they might just include her in their mantras next week. But Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong is another story. She runs to the fence and starts trying to climb it. 8 feet of chain link with razor ribbon on top. But her clothing should stop the razor ribbon. Mostly. She gets about halfway up. Then pudgy but strong arms are around her waist. She's out of luck. Ilbob Rife lifts her right off the fence, both arms and both legs kicking the air uselessly. He backs up a couple of steps and starts carrying her back toward the chopper. She looks back at the Hong Kong franchise. It was a close thing. Someone's in the parking lot, a courier, cruising in off the highway, just kind of chilling out and taking it real easy.
Hey!
She screams. She reaches up and punches the lapel switch on her coverall, turning it bright blue and orange.
Hey! I'm a courier! My name's YT! These maniac scum guys kidnapped me!
Wow! The courier says. What a drag!
Then he asks her something, but she can't hear it because the helicopter is whirling up its blades.
They're taking me to LAX,
she screams at the top of her lungs. Then Rife slams her into the chopper face first. The chopper lifts off, tracked precisely by an audience of antennas on the roof of Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong. In the parking lot, the courier watches the chopper taking off. It's really cool to watch, and it has a lot of bumping guns on it. But those dudes inside the chopper were harshing that chick major. The courier pulls his personal phone out of its holster, jacks into Radicea's central command, and punches a big red button. He calls a code. ...2,500 couriers are massed on the reinforced concrete banks of the L.A. River. Down in the bottom trench of the river, Vitaly Chernobyl and the Meltdowns are just hitting the really good part of their next major hit single, Control Rod Jam. A number of the couriers are taking advantage of this soundtrack to style up and down the banks of the river. Only Vitaly live can get their adrenaline pumping hard enough to enable them to skate a sharp bank at 80 miles per hour plus without doing a Wilson into the creek. And then the dark mass of Meltdown fans turn into a gyrating orange-red galaxy as 2,500 new stars appear. It's a mind-blowing sight, and at first they think it's a new visual effect put together by Vitaly and his imageers. It is like a mass flicking of bics, except brighter and more organized. Each courier looks down on his or her belt to see that a red light is flashing on their personal telephone. Looks like some poor skater called in a code. In a Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong franchise on the outskirts of Phoenix, Rat Thing number B-782 comes awake. Fido is waking up because the dogs are barking tonight. There is always barking. Much of the barking is very far away. Fido knows that faraway barks are not as important as close barks, and so he often sleeps through these. But sometimes a faraway bark will carry a special sound that makes Fido excited, and he can't help waking up. He is hearing one of those barks right now. It comes from far away, but it is urgent. Some nice doggy somewhere is very upset. He is so upset that his barking has spread to all the other doggies in the pack. Fido listens to the bark. He gets excited too. Some bad strangers have just been very close to a nice doggy's yard. They were in a flying thing. They had lots of guns. Fido doesn't like guns very much. A stranger with a gun shot him once and made him hurt. Then the nice girl came and helped him. These are extremely bad strangers. Any nice doggy in his right mind would want to hurt them and make them go away. As Fido listens to the bark, he sees what they look like and hears the way they sound. If any of these very bad strangers ever come to his yard, he will be extremely upset. Then Fido notices that the bad strangers are chasing someone. He can tell they are hurting her by the way her voice sounds and the way she moves. The bad strangers are hurting the nice girl who loves him. Fido gets more angry than he has ever been, even more angry than when a bad man shot him long ago. His job is to keep bad strangers out of his yard. He does not do anything else. But it's even more important to protect the nice girl who loves him. That is more important than anything, and nothing can stop him, not even the fence. The fence is very tall, but he can remember a long time ago when he used to jump over things that were taller than his head. Fido comes out of his doggy house, curls his long legs beneath him, and jumps over the fence around his yard before he has remembered that he is not capable of jumping over it. This contradiction is lost on him, though. As a dog, introspection is not one of his strong points. The bark is spreading to another place, far away. All the nice doggies who live in this faraway place are being warned to look out for the very bad strangers and the girl who loves Fido, because they are going to that place. Fido sees the place in his mind. It is big and wide and flat and open, like a nice field for chasing frisbees. It has lots of big flying things. Around the edges are a couple of yards where nice doggies live. Fido can hear those nice doggies barking in reply. He knows where they are, far away. But you can get there by streets. Fido knows a whole lot of different streets. He just runs down streets, and he knows where he is and where he's going. At first, the only trace that B-782 leaves of this passage is a dancing trail of sparks down the center of the franchise ghetto. But once he makes his way out onto a long, straight piece of highway, he begins to leave further evidence, a spume of shattered blue safety glass spraying outward in parallel veins from all four lanes of traffic as the windows and the windshields of the cars blow out of their frames, spraying into the air like rooster tails behind a speedboat. As part of Mr. Lee's good neighbor policy, all rat things are programmed never to break the sound barrier in a populated area. But Fido's in too much of a hurry to worry about the good neighbor policy. Jack the sound barrier. Bring the noise.